And the secondary hero is her love interest, who has returned from who she meets when after he has returned from service to Afghanistan, and has taken to growing cannabis for commercial purposes, and doing so illicitly. This is before cannabis was widely legal. So you ultimately, I think in this book, you find yourself rooting for people who might not widely be considered heroes. And that that is very much what I hope comes across. I had really happily had some early reviews come in, and one where you mentioned, for instance, that the book features the community's grit and hardiness and sense of unity, even as citizens struggle with addiction. So I was really excited to see that coming through. And another review said it called it a critique of American individualism, which I just love.
Oh, yeah.
So so I think that it couldn't be more related to our conversation today or to Mental Health Awareness Month. It's called The Untended, and it comes out on May 6th.
And I just wanted to end this way with a quote. You say the following words are for every reader, but also for ourselves. When you're struggling, contact someone you trust for support. By doing so, you're also implicitly giving them permission to ask for your help from you when they need it. And by giving and receiving help...
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Community Advisory Board will meet on Monday, May 12th at 6:30 p.m. The meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held. Thank you.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from Symbiop Garden Shop, a local worker-owned ecological garden shop and landscaping cooperative specializing in regionally native plants and climate chaos resilient food systems. Symbiop is located at 34th and Southeast Powell Boulevard. More info at symbiop.com.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 11 a.m. It's time for the bike show.
It takes two wheels and no gasoline to keep yourself healthy and to keep the air clean. You can ride in the sunshine, you can ride in the rain. It takes two pedals, two wheels, and a chain. Everybody, ride your bicycle. Let's get together and leave our cars home. Everybody, get on your bicycle. Let's get together to pedal and roam.
Are in the world. Welcome to KBOO Radio Bike Show, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon on 90.7 FM and streaming live on kboo.fm. And all shows are archived on thebikeshow.portlandtransport.com. My name is Nedra Deadweiler, and I'll be joined today by my co-host Alon Robb, and our engineer is Ty Walker. Thank you to our listeners for joining us today. We appreciate you and glad to have you here. We are happy and honored to be carried on the following community radio stations across the land and by Cornucopia Radio in the UK. We are thankful for all of that support. And also, we are now, will be every other Sunday at noon on KORC in Corvallis. Streaming worldwide at KORCFM.com. In the first half hour of the show, we will have news. Alana's going to join us very soon to give us some news and to say hello. In the first half of the show, I will be in conversation with Kevin Ongara, who is marketing director at the Atlanta Cycling Festival. The Atlanta Cycling Festival started in 2024 with the goal of connecting riders of all ages and experiences to each other and support the development of the bike community in Atlanta and beyond. And in the second half of the show, Alon will be in conversation with Alden Ross and Eric Dudes, co-owners and executive directors of Filmed by Bike Festival. Filmed by Bike has been going strong since 2003. The festival is a showcase for films from across the world that centers on all matters bicycles. It will be shown this month in Portland and later in venues across the land. Alden and Eric are filmmakers and community activists. But before we get into the show, let's welcome Alon. Alon, hi, how are you doing?
Hi, good day. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Yeah,
that's the regular ups and downs of life and living in this very strange time.
yes, I am staying present, right?
I did participate in this wonderful active transportation conference, which is organized yearly by Portland Street Trust. And it's an opportunity to hear about all the good work people are doing across the U.S., everything connected with active transportation, with public transportation. And there were many inspiring talks about everything from congestion pricing in New York to a levy in Seattle that voters chose to give more money for transportation, for sidewalks, for bicycles. And it's just, I came out of it feeling energized and more hopeful about life. So It was just a really wonderful time, a community building event. So
sounds great.
Yeah. Anything new in your life that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I guess the new thing, I went to a conference too, like transit demand management.
Oh.
And it's similar to where you were. It's like looking. Transit demand is like getting people out of single occupancy vehicles mm-hmm. and moving into shared vehicles, transit, biking. So it was really good to kind of hear what some of the, and this is like from folks who are in the Southeast.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of good to see some of the community work that they're doing and also like some of the strategies they're taking around, like getting employers mm-hmm. to get on board and support their employees coming to work in different modes. Yeah, so
that sounds good. And I'll transition now to the news. And I have today I decided to focus only on positive news. So Momentum Magazine, a wonderful magazine out of Canada, which is available online also, reports that last year much progress has been made as far as bicycle infrastructure in many American cities. A report compiled by the People for Bikes group shows that federal, state, and local funding has led to the creation of many new lanes, from leafy greenways in Indiana to protected lanes in big cities like Chicago and Pittsburgh. The new bikeways include in Detroit the Joe Louis Greenway, a planned 28-mile loop through 23 neighborhoods and three nearby cities. And last year, the city opened a one-mile segment that includes trailheads, public art installations, and green infrastructure. It's seen as a vehicle for economic development, public health, and community pride. And the focus is on ensuring that the benefits reach historically marginalized communities along the route. And in Honolulu, the Leeward Bikeway, a long-planned project that uses a disused rail corridor, has started, and it will connect the Pearl Harbor District, or trail, excuse me, to a future 24-mile car-free route. And if those of you that listeners know Honolulu, it will stretch from Diamond Head to the West Coast and funded by a mix of federal grants and state capital improvement funds. So bravo to all these cities and other municipalities. As we know, the current federal government, staunchly anti-bike, anti-public transportation, anti all government departments and programs that aid people and the environment, puts the expansion of such projects at a very, very high risk. We, bike advocates and all supporters of more livable cities and towns, have got our work cut out for us. And last month, I bemoaned the closure of several bike stores, community hubs in downtown and northwest Portland. I'm happy to report that one of those stores, Thurman Street Fat Tire Farm, which is closing after 40 years, will continue in the same location in a reincarnated form. Cycle Path Bike Shop will replace it. Cycle Path owner Michael Jelinek confirmed with Bike Portland that he will hire several of the former employees and also be posting job listings. And that's wonderful news, and especially for all of us who live in Northwest Portland or downtown. So Cycle Path, welcome to the Northwest. And just one more news item, and again from Portland. If you go to the website of our wonderful library system, the Multnomah County Library, and you look at their website, the first thing that pops up this month is an announcement about bicycle. Announcement about Bike to Books is back, with several colorful images of bicycle art. The library is celebrating bikes, reading, and community during National Bike Month by having its second Bikes to Book Lane Design Contest. Art designs for bicycle lanes were requested, with categories for kids and adults. In addition, all branches are handing out bicycle lights, and several bike maintenance workshops will be held. There are also bike-themed story times. So for more information, just go to the Multnomah County Library site, multcolib.org. And hooray for our library and its wonderful staff. And I'll say goodbye for now and hand the mic to you, Nedra, and I will join at the half-hour mark.
Okay, thank you so much for all that news, Alan, and appreciate you. See you in a bit. So now for our first guest. Our first guest is Kevin O'Gara, who works with the Atlanta Cycling Festival and has been a community advocate for cycling and an activist on a variety of projects. Hello, Kevin, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, great. Welcome to the show. It's good to have you here.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, for sure. So we do know each other. We know each other. We both live in Atlanta and have been a part of my community here. So just want to put that out there. So glad to have you sort of talk about your foray into cycling as an adult, and also like but the work that you've done in, you know, in the bike community here now for like 14, 16 years or so. But we kind of going to start with some early memory and then just move forward. What is your earliest memory of riding a bicycle?
Well, I think I grew up in a little suburb of Atlanta called Vinings. And while I have vague memories of riding with training wheels, most of what I remember is just being able to ride around my neighborhood on my bike with the other kids. It was a lot of fun. We were riding in the street because we lived on a dead-end street. So the bike formed a big part of my early life.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like your early life, your social life, too. Gathering together.
Yeah.
So you kind of came back to, I mean, I'm assuming, did you keep riding your bicycle? Or, like, was there ever a time, when did it end? Did it ever end?
I I rode recreationally through my life. Lived in San Francisco for a while, and I'd ride out there just mostly solo, ride around town, ride over to Sausalito for breakfast, things like that. And later, when I moved back to Atlanta, I would ride for exercise and go out and ride around the neighborhood. But I did a couple trips where we went and with my then wife, we rode in Europe a couple times with organized groups. And so it was always there, but it wasn't till about 15 years ago that I found myself unmarried and then car-free in Atlanta, and had to kind of figure out, you know, am I going to get a car? How am I going to deal with this? And I started riding my bike again for transportation, and it actually felt like a kid again once I started to ride around. It was really freeing. I use it a lot in conjunction with MARTA, which is our rail system here. You can take the bike on MARTA pretty easily. And then after a while, I found myself commuting pretty long distances just on my bike. But a couple years after that, I was working on with my kids on a mural, and there's a bunch of us volunteers helping paint this mural in Reynoldstown, and met a guy who suggested I get in touch with a Facebook group called Bike Commuters of Atlanta, and then they would have monthly breakfasts, and I kind of found a community through that and found more and more urban cyclists like me, more commuters, and started to get a lot more involved in the community. And the guy who introduced me to that, Jeffrey Wizard, founded the Atlanta Cycling Festival in 2014, and I started volunteering then, and I've been involved with it since its inception. And it was a great thing to find such a neat community. And the cycling community here, I think, is unusual because it's not a cycling town. I think we all feel a little bit protective of each other. So it is changing. There are more and more cyclists out there.
So just kind of thinking back, or just going back to something you were mentioning earlier, like, it didn't sound like you really took that much of a break in cycling. Maybe you were not riding every day as you did maybe as a kid, or living in San Francisco. You use it for recreationally and for like vacation, you know, bike vacation. But when you decided that you were not having a car, you didn't have a car, and you were questioning, do I get a bike? Do I keep this bike and just use a bike only, or do I go and buy another car? Do you remember, like, what that decision was like to be bike only? And, like, was there any feedback that you received from people? And, you know, can you talk about how you stayed committed to being bike only?
But I had to have a car occasionally because my kids were younger, and I had to go and pick them up and do stuff with them. But I sat down, and I remember doing a little spreadsheet and trying to figure out the cost difference between not having a car and renting a car when I needed it, and using an occasional taxi because this was pre-Uber, versus getting a car, paying for insurance, paying for, you know, making car payments if I didn't buy it outright, and figured out that it was going to be a lot cheaper to just use my bike and rent a car when I needed it. So that was part of it. I didn't really talk to a lot of people about my decision so much, but I do remember one of my first business meetings, which was in the summer, that I went to by bike, and I went early, so I would stop. I wasn't so sweaty when by the time the meeting started, and it was a breakfast. And I remember talking to the guy I was meeting with,
was working on the financing down in Mexico, and that was what I spent a lot of my life doing. And you know, said saying, "Yeah, I got here by bike. I'm a little bit sweaty. Sorry." And he's like, "Oh, you rode a bike?" And it was there's kind of the fascination that I had committed to just getting around by bike. I was kind of worried about the reaction I'd get, but it was more fascination than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Okay, for a station break, you are listening to the KBOO radio show broadcasting from Portland, Oregon on 90.7 FM and streaming live on KBOO.FM. All shows are available on www.bikeshow.portlandtransport.com and are cared by fellow community radio stations in the U.S. and England, and every other Sunday at noon on KORC in Corvallis, streaming worldwide at korcfm.com. My name is Nedra Deadweiler, and our first guest of the show is Kevin O'Gara with the Atlanta Cycling Festival. Okay, so that's pretty cool. They were fascinated because you were riding a bike to a business meeting as an adult, which is great. Show of like, hey, I'm committed to this. And like, I get it, not talking to a lot of people about your decision. But it's also interesting that you use a spreadsheet and that it came down to like a cost analysis. But as you have maintained like this bikiness and you got involved in different from bike commuters of Atlanta to the cycling festival, can you talk about the meaningfulness and like what did that being a part of these communities and big events? What did that mean for you personally?
Well, it came at a time where I was making a transition from being married to single. And I moved from kind of a posh part of town to living in town. And I was, trying to find my way again. And it really was very meaningful because it was a community that I enjoyed and began to make a lot of friends in it. It's a very smart community here in Atlanta because there's a lot of CDC people, academics. Apart from there's some tech people. There's a lot of interesting people involved, and so I've gained a lot of great friendships through it, and have continued dedicating a lot of my life to the bike community, one being the cycling festival, and I do a Sunday ride here in Atlanta this weekly, and it's a great community.
Mm-hmm. Who are your collaborators with the festival? Who are your teammates? Can you talk about your team members and then some of the collaborators that make the festival happen?
Yes, the cycling festival was taken over by Mark McCampbell and his family company, MMI, and they do sound and lighting and AV for events. So they have a terrific amount of event experience. They help put on Dragon Con here in Atlanta, which is a huge undertaking. So I've learned a ton working with him. Lemiko Moore does our media, and basically there's three of us that organize this, which turns out to be a lot of work leading up to the festival. Awesome. We've got close to 50 events crammed into 8 days coming up from the 17th of May to the 24th of May, and there are all kinds of events, rides, seminars, we got some panel discussions, and it's a range of activities that will appeal to beginner riders all the way to roadies. So it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any favorite events, or is there some really popular events or some new events that's coming on this year?
I've got several favorites that I try to make sure I'm always on. One is the Intercontinental Cocktail Ride, where we all dress up in coats and ties and we visit a few cocktail bars. And I do that after a ride that and panel discussion that came that we developed during COVID. We did a virtual festival during COVID where we just gave routes for people and some notes and things. But we came up with a ride called Structural Inequities, where we looked at the city and how it's developed and how things were structured to that discriminate, that separate people racially. And that ride, this will be our fourth year. And that's a big ride for me. I try to do a lot of research. And this year we've got a panel discussion with some folks from GSU and from the city. They're going to talk a little bit about housing, past and present, and gentrification, which is going on in most cities, but there's a lot of it happening here in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds great. So it offers something for everyone. It can engage your brain, your intelligence, and get you involved, maybe heartfelt in some city issues, and also just get your legs going around the city.
Yes.
Like you were saying earlier, that Atlanta wasn't known as a bike city, and maybe that's still debatable. People for Bikes gave Atlanta a 30 out of 100 last year. But we both know that there's been some big changes. We have a ways to go, but do you think the ACF has played a role in moving the needle forward? If so, how do you see ACF and organizations, bike events or bike activities, groups, et cetera, how do you feel like they play a role in changing the dynamics here in Atlanta when it comes to cycling?
Well, I think we're fortunate in that we get new people every year who are coming to the city or already in the city, and they see an opportunity to do a group ride, and getting people out on bikes in a group feels a lot safer than riding on your own, and it changes your perspective on the city. It's a completely different way of seeing the city than driving around in your car. You're not separated from things. Mm-hmm. You're out there in the world. You see more, and then you start to notice more. And I found that most of the cyclists I know that have been riding in the city, you end up becoming much more aware of your urban environment and how it is built. So I think the cycling festival helps new people get out on bikes, and hopefully some of those people start to see the city in a different way and what it could be. And the city is making some effort. We all say it's slow. They might differ, but to create safer bike lanes, safer spaces to bike. But we have a long way to go, I think, before people feel safe just getting around on, mm-hmm. on bicycles in town. I do know that depending on what part of the city you're in, if there's a lot of cyclists, the cars have gotten used to us, so they're a little friendlier. But other parts of the city, they still don't understand why that cyclist is in the road sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the biggest one. It's like, get on the sidewalk, but, you know, sidewalks aren't everywhere here either. So not the safest place to ride a bike. Because you do ride in other locations in the U.S. and beyond. Are there other festivals that you've been to, bike festivals or rides? Like today we're joined by a Film by Bike that you participated in that you really like. And
I have not done a lot of other festivals. I've done Ragbri in Iowa a couple times, and that's a ton of fun. I would like to go to some more festivals so that we kind of broaden what you know, our view of the festival is and what it can do. But we're pretty, we have a pretty lean budget, so it's not like we can do research trips very easily. Though we're starting to look at, you know, what other festivals could we go to and learn from. But I do like riding for vacation. I've ridden in, on vacation in Maine and done a trip up there. But we're, the cycling festival is looking at doing some overseas trips. And right now we're finishing up planning on a trip. I did an exploratory trip in the Yucatan where we did a couple hundred miles, and it's, you know, exploring the culture and exploring the history. We visit Mayan ruins, and the exploratory trip was very successful, and we're hoping to announce a trip for December to the Yucatan. So I'm looking forward to doing more of that.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great. Thank you so much, Kevin. What's next for you? And it sounds like the festival is going to start doing more overseas bike trips. Anything new for you and your bike life?
Just want to continue cycling. I look forward to doing some more trips abroad and in the U.S. And I find exploring the world by bike the best way to do it.
Yes, it truly is. Where can people find information on the cycling festival, the Atlanta Cycling Festival?
You can find information at theatlantacyclingfestival.com. And we've got events through the year, but our festival's coming up again on May 17th through 24th. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, sounds great. And hope to see you there. And thanks for joining us on KBOO Radio. Take care, Kevin.
Great to talk to you, Nedra. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. You are listening to the KBOO Radio Bike Show, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, live the first Wednesday of the month on 90.7 FM and streaming on KBOO.FM. All shows going back to 2001 are archived at www.bikeshow.portlandtransport.com. We are happy to be carried by fellow community radio stations across the U.S. and the U.K. every other Sunday at noon on KORC in Corvallis, streaming worldwide at KORCFM.com. We have been in conversation with Kevin O'Gara of the Atlanta Cycling Festival. Thank you, Kevin, for being on the show, and best of luck with the Atlanta Cycling Festival season. We will now take a short musical break, and when we return, Alon will be in conversation with Alden Roth and Eric Dutz, filmmakers and activists, and the co-owners and executive directors of Film by Bike Festival, which will be screening in Portland this month. Our music break this now will be a reminder to hold on, that truth and love will prevail. Our song selection is the Resistance Revival Chorus with Rihanna Giddens. All you fascists bound to lose. Take it away, Ty.
Hello. That clearly was not All You Fascists Bound to Lose, the Woody Guthrie song that has become popular again. And For some reason, we didn't have it queued, but that's okay. I just hope it doesn't mean the fascists are going to win. So back to the bike show here. Thank you, Nedra and Kevin, for telling us about the Atlanta Bicycle Festival. And in the second half of the show, we'll talk about films and bicycles. From Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin to E.T., from Tarkovsky, The Sacrifice, to Pee-wee's Herman, Big Adventure, from Jacques Tati's Mon Encore to Beijing Bicycles. Bicycles and their riders have starred in many films since the early days of cinema. In the second half of the show, our guests are Alden Roth and Eric Dodds, co-owners and executive directors of the Film by Bike Festival. Going strong since 2003, the festival is a showcase for films from across the world that center on all matters bicycle. It will be shown this month in Portland, where it originated, and later in venues across the land. Alden and Eric are filmmakers in their own right and community activists too. And among their good work in the world, Alden Roth is the owner and cinematographer at Rocket Fuel Studios and vice president of West Virginia's Charlestown Board of Parks and Recreation. And also, as his website notes, an ultra bike packer and runner. Eric Dodds, who is a disability advocate, producing films that center on underrepresented voices. Alden Roth is in the studio, and Eric will speak to us via the magic of the phone. I hope you're on the air, Eric.
Yes, indeed, I'm here. Thank you for the warm intro.
Welcome to the show. Where does this find you today?
Today, I am home in Denver, Colorado, where I've been the last 3 years.
Okay. So, the phone, you sound as if you're in the next room. So good day and welcome to both of you. Before we get to the film festival, which I have to say I've attended many times and always enjoyed the width, the breadth, the creativity of the filmmakers and the films, I'd like to know a little bit about yourselves, maybe your backgrounds and your own bicycling history. So why don't we start with you, Alden?
Sure, yeah, thank you for having me. I guess my bike history sort of goes all the way back to when I was a little baby. my parents are big cyclists. They went on their 10-year anniversary. They took a tandem bike tour around Ireland. So as young as I was, they put me in a kiddie trailer. And then when I graduated to a tag-along bike, I was the tag-along, the third person in the tandem. When my little sister came along, she was in the kiddie trailer. So we had this four-person bike train, and we'd ride around town. We did a little overnight, and then I just sort of have been rolling along ever since.
Great. And Eric?
Yeah, I also found myself on the back of a tandem bicycle in the New York City area, but don't remember too much of it since I was a kid as well. And then I kind of stumbled into bike touring in 2017. I went on my first bike tour, which was across America as my ambitious plan. And that took me from Virginia up to Vancouver, British Columbia. And I thought I was leaving for 3 months, and I continued biking around the world until the pandemic brought me home to America. So I'm kind of an accidental bike tourist.
How did film enter your life? Were you always interested in film, Alden?
Yeah, I mean, I sort of bounced around as a kid with what do I want to be when I grow up? And I think around sixth or seventh grade, I saw the movie V for Vendetta, and I was just fascinated. I wanted to learn everything about how they made that movie. And then in high school, I was lucky enough to have a TV and video class where we had access to cameras and editing equipment. So I really got a great education in high school. And then I went to, for college, I went to Point Park University where I studied film, got concentrations in cinematography and editing, and have been sort of making documentaries and local TV shows ever since.
And what kind of documentaries do you make?
My favorite ones to make are about people doing hard things. So women climbing mountains, ultra runners, cyclists, but you know, ones that come more frequently that pay the bills are local travel shows, food competitions, highlighting local businesses. it's equally fun, yeah.
And Eric, how about your path to film?
Yeah, my background's actually in international environmental policy. So one of my first jobs out of college was on the border of Ethiopia and South Sudan in the Horn of Africa. And that's where I found myself needing a camera and a video to communicate what was going on there. And then it honestly was bike touring across the U.S. where that kind of videography really started becoming part of my day-to-day. So I was also producing a series called Miles of Portraits that was just capturing the stories of the people that would host us, the people that would interact with us. And so often people kind of thought these were just friends who were meeting us along the way. And I was like, no, like these are strangers. These are people who are warm and affectionate, who are just welcoming us into our home. And so that has led into running a production company in the biking space and then also in the environmental space, but all self-taught, kind of YouTube and Instagram, and feeling very millennial in that way.
And at the Horn of Africa, what brought you over there? Were you a CIA agent or an aid worker?
Yeah, it's interesting context. So I'm actually trained professionally to design national parks. So I was working for the Ethiopian government, which is a very different context than a lot of workers find themselves there. So, and also some context is I live with type 1 diabetes, which of course always requires insulin and blood sugar management. And Ethiopia is the place that I actually studied while going to college up in Maine at Colby College. And so it was an opportunity to go to the place that I had been studying, but I also found myself all of a sudden on a 7-day boat trip into one of the most remote regions in the world. So Gombela National Park is on the border. It's a huge wetlands. It's actually an international park. So that's what I'm actually trained in. But that's where I found myself making maps or making policy, but also having to recommend to the government how to respond to flooding, how to distribute food aid. And that's where I was like, yeah, photos and videos need to be part of this written word.
Hopefully later in the show, I'd love to hear from both of you more about your work, but let's get to the festival. So Film by Bike, what is this festival?
Film by Bike is, it's a film festival that's been happening in Portland since 2003, founded by Aileen Crotty. And for 22 years now, it's been showing the world's best bike movies. It's primarily focusing on short films, but the idea is that these films come from all over the world. So it's not just Portland films. It's people from Canada and Spain and Girona. Well, Girona's in Spain, but Spain, Iran. I think this year we have somebody from Argentina, a film from Argentina. So the films come from all over the world. They sort of also talk about all sorts of topics, a lot of adventure and bike touring, but also about sustainability and promoting experiences and voices and people that are traditionally underrepresented. So women on bikes and people of color that are also bike users equally as sort of, you know, the majority white population here in the U.S. But yeah, we just highlight all of these amazing stories, people that experience life in all sorts of different ways and just put the lens on life by viewing it through the bicycle.
And Eric, you receive hundreds of submissions. How is the selection process made? How do you choose the 35 or so films that make it to the big screen?
Yeah, it definitely takes a team. It definitely takes a community. The first way I actually came in contact with Film by Bike is I was a jury member when I was in India, and that was during what Aileen calls, you know, the interesting years. And so that's when the jury pool became international, and we continue to have that jury pool, having people mainly in Portland, but of course from around, who help us work through the submissions, and then slowly a theme develops. And from there, we have, once again, the jury, the team, people outside, just myself, pulling together the full program. So we end up with series like Women on Bike, Joyride, which is focused on family-friendly, just really showing stories from all ages. We have Adventure, of course. And so it's kind of a beautiful thing that you have some idea of what this festival might look like each year, but it's really the submissions and the filmmakers that end up shaping it.
You are listening to the KBO Bike Show, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, and carried by stations across the land and by Cornucopia Radio of the UK. And our guests in the second half of the show are Alden Roth and Eric Dutz, co-owners and executive directors of the Film by Bike Festival, a wonderful festival that will be shown in Portland this month, May, and around the land. I encourage everyone to attend and support this wonderful project. So, Alden, let's say you get all these submissions, a jury looks at it. Obviously, a jury member can watch hundreds of films. How is the actual process of selecting? Do you, what happens if you love it and Eric hates it? How do you reach consensus? Do you challenge each other to a duel, pistols at dawn? How is it, a bicycle race?
It's a bike race, absolutely. Okay. No. You know, when we first have over 100 films, it, mm-hmm. like you're saying, it's impossible for a full jury to watch all of those. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think in total it was something like 26 hours worth of films. Mm-hmm. So we split that up amongst the team at Film by Bike, and we sort of say, okay, we try to get rid of half and just say this half is just not good. It's either the production quality is not good, the story is not good, or sometimes people submit films that don't have anything to do with bikes. I watched a 12-minute film, not once was there a bike. So, you know, we get rid of those that are just very obviously not up to the standard of what we have at Film by Bike. And then we take sort of the top 50%, and that is given to the jury and split amongst the 12-person jury. And so the jury will then grade everything on different factors like storytelling, cinematography, editing, sound design, and then all of those scores get aggregated, and then we sort of take the best of the best from there. So at Film by Bike, we don't really make that final call, or I'm sorry, like the team doesn't make that final call. It's very much the jury is making that final decision of who or which films are the best, you know, because if it was just up to me, it might just be adventure films. But because of the jury, we get a much more diverse program, and we hear about different stories and different types of bikes and different people, and the jury helps us decide what is important for the whole community, not just me.
And the filmmakers don't have to slip a $100 note into your pocket or a Bitcoin or whatever. Eric, this year's festival, tell us about a couple of the films that might stand out as far as their topic, subject, creators.
Yeah, of course. I always think one, going into age is interesting. When do people become involved in cycling? So I think about this incredible film that is all about what's called Girls Riding High, but girls from Alaska forming kind of a youth organization. And one, you see the joy on their face celebrating the bike, especially as youth and having kind of youth mentors around it, and trying to balance that with other films like The Right to Joy, which is local to at least the Pacific Northwest, but that is a story about a trans athlete. It's also directed by a trans filmmaker, but it's about a survivor who ends up losing their riding partner because of, I believe it's a cougar, but at least an animal attack. So it's really the extremes that sometimes the bicycle puts us in, that sometimes it's joy, sometimes it's grief. And I think along those ways, we also have journeys of discovery, such as like The Route to Emancipation, which has more of like a historical context, but also being like, how can I discover the story of America or my area? And I always love those stories because that's kind of what motivated me to bike across America, where I was like, all right, I've been born on the East Coast, raised on the East Coast, educated on the East Coast. Like, what is my country? And so I think biking is beautiful because this film festival ends up having so many emotions where it's like you can find yourself laughing along with the girls on bikes. And then you also have those real moments like The Right to Joy, where you're seeing someone cope with loss and grief and still decide to get back on the bike and actually redo that route, like redo the ride where that attack happened. And that's been pretty incredible for me to witness.
And Alden, you have a filmmaker grant fund, which, as you write on the website, centers on people who have historically been left out of the bicycle spotlight. Tell us, please, about this program and some of the filmmakers shown through it or given the grant.
Yeah, so it's the BIPOC Filmmaker Grant Fund, and what it is every year we are able to give a cash grant to BIPOC filmmakers that are telling either their story or elevating another BIPOC story as well. And so, you know, we've been able to tell, I believe it's eight films, or fund eight filmmakers to date. And we're excited to keep it going. And we actually, at the festival next weekend, we'll have lots of raffle items, and all of the proceeds from those raffle tickets go towards helping the BIPOC grant become a thing.
And one of the nice things about the festival, besides seeing films, it really is a party, and there are bike rides and events. Eric, where do you get the funding for it? And also, you know, the festival travels worldwide, so think it's going to be in Hawaii, Virginia. How does this tour work? Do you have local partners? Do you get support from foundations? So, Eric?
Yeah, let me pass that back over to Alden, since he's the one that actually applied for some of our grants.
He's the money man here.
Yeah, so we are lucky to, you know, most of our funding for the festival comes from the ticket sales and that type of thing. But we're also lucky enough to have been awarded a very generous grant from locally here, the Portland Film and Events Organization. So they give out local grants to local events that are either doing single film screenings that feature Portland filmmakers or cast and crew, or to film festivals that are sort of enticing people from outside of Portland to come and visit, watch films. And the whole goal is to foster that film community here in Portland. The tour of Film by Bike is sort of follows the Banff Mountain Film Festival model, if you're familiar with that. So Banff, the festival happens in Banff every November, and then local communities can use or can license the films from Banff and bring it to their community. And so we do the same thing. We have the festival here in Portland, and then local communities can license Film by Bike and bring it to their town or their city. And it's a great opportunity for them to have a fundraiser for their local organization, or a way for organizations to give back to their volunteers and their members. And we have, like you said, it's going to Hawaii. I believe it's Hawaii either this weekend or in 2 weekends, and it's going to be in Roanoke later this month. It's going to be in Eugene next week as well. So yeah, it goes all around, and it's very fun.
Are there similar festivals like this around the world, or have you thought of maybe showing it? I noticed that to attend, you could buy a virtual pass.
Yeah.
But are there plans for any festivals in other countries? Or?
Yeah, so before Eric and I came on board, it had traveled internationally. Mm-hmm. I believe it'd been to Japan, Germany, the UK, a handful of other countries as well. Mm-hmm. And so it sort of does go around, and that's definitely one of the things that we'd like to do more, is sort of expand that outreach and get it into more places across the U.S. and Canada, but then also how much further across which pond can we go to.
And since you don't depend on federal funding, you could still use the word people of color.
Yes.
You could still talk about equality, justice, and you don't have to feature just films made about people who killed Indians or enslaved people. Seems to be the new version of American history.
I know. It's unfortunate. But that sharing that diversity in storytelling is very important to film.
Our time is just flying by here. But Eric, maybe quickly, what are some of the films you love, not only about bicycles, but some of the filmmakers that, you know, shaped your love of film?
Yeah, I will say Levi Allen on YouTube is definitely who inspired me in terms of adventure filmmaking. Uh-huh. And this year. There are still more surprises to announce at Film by Bike, but Lael Wilcox, who is an endurance athlete, she outright won the Transamerica race years back, and she is the reason I ended up in Alaska. But it's interesting, just over the years, her partner now, Rue, is the filmmaker that follows Lael on all these adventures. And so I am always interested in the combination of, yes, film, which is kind of like Levi Allen, but especially those who are bike touring and capturing it. This year's festival, we have Chris Burkhard, who is known very popularly for like National Geographic, but then also did a whole bike rafting video. And so I always find it fascinating on these adventures when you actually think about what does it actually mean to bring film cameras and film gear along, especially if the cyclist themselves is also doing that. We know how limited a bike is. We know how limited some of these groups and teams are. And so I'm always continually inspired to see people who not only just adventure, but also adventure, capture it and share it and really do educate along the way. That's also one of those things I like about The Forgotten Coast, which is premiering in our, or is featured in our film festival this year, is Chris Burkhard's not only going on this adventure, but he's saying, here's why I'm bringing a raft. We have to cross all these rivers. Like, we actually logistically have to do this. And that always kind of inspires me.
And what about you, Alden? What are some of the films you love? Not necessarily about bicycles.
Sure, yeah. Oh, I mean, I have to take it back to my cinema class days. One of my favorite filmmakers is Sergio Leone, and one of my all-time favorite films is Once Upon a Time in the West. I also am a big fan of Hal Ashby. He made Harold Ahmad, Shampoo. Those are both back in the 70s and 80s. More recently, I mean, Donnie Darko is sort of my all-time favorite film, just a cult classic. There is a bike in that. He wakes up on a random road and starts biking back to his house.
There are definitely, you know, the list of films where bicycles star or, you know, even just appear is large, you know, and they're books, they're good books about cycling and cinema and so forth. We have about 3 minutes here, and I wanted to ask you, Eric, about your Transamerica bike tour where you rode 10,000 miles despite health issues, but maybe that could be saved for another interview, if both of you would be willing to come. But for those who want to find out more about the film festival, how to get tickets, where should they go, Alden?
Yeah, the film festival here in Portland is next weekend. It's May 16th to the 18th at the Hollywood Theater. And to buy tickets, you can go to our website, filmedbybike.org, and there's a little option there in the menu to watch movies. You click on that, and it takes you right to the ticket-buying website. There, you can get passes for the whole weekend, or you can just get tickets to a single screening. We have 6 blocks of films, so it's going to be a great time. We also have group rides almost every day, and an opening party or an opening happy hour at Radio Room on Thursday, the 15th. And then we have a closing party Saturday night, hopefully at Sam's Billiards. So.
And the virtual pass was, you know, helpful for people who are in other countries. We have been speaking with Alden Roth and Eric Dudd of Film by Bicycle. Thank you both for being on the show and for your good work. I really enjoyed, you know, reading about you before the show. I really was moved by your websites and all the good things you do in the world, and just your courage and your ability to ride. And so all the best to you. And hopefully some of our listeners will see you at the films. I definitely hope to be there. So thank you both. And be well, Eric and Alden. You have been listening to the KBO Bike Show, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon. My name is Alon Robb, and I would like to thank our guests, Kevin O'Gara, Alden Roth, and Eric Dutz, co-host Nedra Deadweiler, our engineer Ty Walker, and also Chris Smith and Josh Hetrick for making all shows available on www.bikeshow.com. PortlandTransport.com. And mostly a big thank you to you, our listeners. It's always good to hear from listeners. I know some of my friends are listening across the world, so may all your rides be safe, enlightening, and joyful. And even though we didn't get to hear the song, All You Fascists Are Bound to Lose, hopefully that will be what will happen. And of course, it's up to all of us, cyclists and non-cyclists alike. So be well, and we'll end with our theme song, which is The Bike Song by Mark Ronson.
It went by like this. It takes two wheels and no gasoline to keep yourself healthy and to keep the air clean. You can ride in the sunshine, you can ride in the rain. It takes two pedals, two wheels, and a chain. Everybody, ride your bicycle. Let's get together and leave our cars home. Everybody, get on your bicycle. Let's get together to pedal and roam. You can take a ride up in Forest Park. You can ride with the light if you ride in the dark. You can ride from the mountain down to the beach. You can ride on a trail, you can ride in the street. You can ride through a puddle, you can ride in the rain. You can take it on a bus, you can take it on a train. Take a ride to the waterfront or down from the zoo.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is Jazz Lives, right after these news headlines.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM.